Hello everyone and welcome to Words on a Wedding, the podcast that sees me, your host Annie Vischer, interview my wonderful guests about their big day. Together we talk all things proposals, planning, the ceremony, the reception, the honeymoon and beyond. No wedding related stone is left unturned. So whether you're planning your own wedding, you simply love wedding chat, or like me, you're a newlywed who just can't let it go, hit subscribe on Words on a Wedding, play on the episode and get stuck in. My guest today is Amy Conway, makeup artist to the stars, Bobbi Brown, global pro artist, QVC presenter and beauty columnist. Amy is beloved by celebrities and beauty editors alike, and she was actually in charge of my wedding makeup. Ever since she taught me through the top line details of her own incredible wedding, I've been dying to know more. And I did tell her to keep everything to herself until this podcast, though, so we can get into granular detail together. Amy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for letting me be able to talk about my wedding again. I feel like my friends are fed up of hearing it, so it's nice to have the space to talk about it again.
I love that. I think that's been the vibe with a lot of my guests. It's such a big part of your life, and then it's over in a flash, and all of a sudden it's like you're banned from talking about it, or you feel it's that kind of self-imposed humbling that you're like, no, I shouldn't talk about my wedding still.
It's so true, especially the bridal party. Like my bridesmaids would be like, yeah, Amy, we were all there. And I was like, no, but let's just tell the story again, you know.
Exactly. But this is your license to get into all the details once again with me. I'm very excited. So let's start right at the beginning. Who did you marry and how did you meet?
Okay, so I married my husband, Gianluca. Everyone just calls him G because, funny enough, and it did come up in the wedding speech, is we actually met old school in a bar. And when he was talking to me, I was like, what's your name? And he said, Gianluca. He's half Italian, by the way. And I was like, what? Had a little bit to drink, but not too much, you know, I could still hear. And I was like, say it again. He went, Gianluca. And I was like, and I still didn't quite get it. And I was like, one more time. And he said it. But I thought, I can't ask him more than three times. This is getting really embarrassing. So I left it and I went, I'm going to call you G. And that was it. And it was kind of from there. We met in a bar. It was actually in my hometown. I wasn't supposed to be out that night. He wasn't supposed to be in that bar that night. So we kind of always look back and think, oh, it was meant to be.
Oh, I love that. And then talk me through the proposal. How long after your first meeting was the proposal? What took place? I need to hear it all.
Just coming up to five years in when he proposed. And it was that thing of we went to New York for New Year and I thought it was going to be then. I don't know why. I just feel like your friends always put it in your head as well. And I was like, maybe, like, New York is really special. It didn't happen then. And I remember that was the first time that I started to think, oh, what is it going to be soon? And we then went to Santorini for, it was a couple of months later. So this was in the April. And we went to Santorini and we just went to the most beautiful villa. I don't know if you've ever been. It's called Dana Villas. I really recommend it. If anyone sees you, can literally, I think it's on like booking.com. It's one of the classic villas that have like the pool looking over the edge, but it's a heated pool. You could even, like, we went in April and it wasn't warm all outside, but it was like just a slight chill. So having a heated pool was brilliant. You could go any time of year. And then it had an inside pool in this villa because they're like caves out there. So I just thought, gosh, if it's going to be anywhere, it's going to be here. So I'm getting ready because the way we planned this trip, we were like, right, let's do two nights in the Dana Villas and then let's go to the other side of the island and see that side of Santorini. And anyway, as we're leaving and checking out, I thought, it's not here. It's not it. It's not happening at all. And we're checking out of the hotel and the receptionist said, oh, just so you know, when you're getting taxis, they're down just opposite the church. And so we're like, okay, brilliant, thanks. I don't know if anyone else has had this, but I know a lot of my friends and people I meet have, like, there's almost, and it's so funny because it's the best time of your life, but then there's almost like an argument before it. Like, we were trying to get this taxi and he's like, no, Amy, the taxi's down the street. And I said, no, did you just hear her? The taxi's outside the church. And little did I know, he had a whole plan. So in my head, I'm just like, I'm not lugging all our, like, stuff up here to then tell you that I was right, you know, classic couple, I was right. And then we had to walk all the way back. But he's literally like, Amy, please just listen to me. And we're going to walk down the road. And then sure enough, there was this like private car that he had already planned, and it took us to this port, and then there was a boat, and then I was just like, oh my God. And I think when I saw the boat and knew it was like this whole, it was so fancy, but it was like this private yacht that he had rented for us to have lunch on, that's when I was like, something's going on here. And it was just then I was like, this is too special for something not to happen. So then, yeah, we did have the loveliest day, and we had some lunch, and then he literally just got down on one knee as we were eating lunch, and we had like champagne, and it was all exciting. And then the funny part of it, I think, was we were, the boat was on its way back into the port, and it was just so much, so many waves that we just almost had, we're a bit like seasick on the way. but yeah, so I think, I don't know if anyone else has that, but yeah, it was almost this close near on argument before even getting to the port, just because he was trying to get me to go along with this surprise. And yeah, I just had no idea at that point.
And then he clearly got down on one knee and you said yes.
Yes, I said yes. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I don't know if anyone else also does this. I had been slightly hinting at the kind of ring that I wanted. It wasn't so much so like saving pictures or sending it to his email, but it was very much like on a night out, I would just go six prong solitaire, like in his ear. And he did get a six prong solitaire and I was so excited by it. So I was over the moon. The next morning, that feeling, you just can't describe it, can you, when you look at your hand and you're like, oh my gosh, there's a ring on my hand.
Absolutely amazing. That's a sensational proposal, I have to say. Did you get any video evidence, any pictures?
Yes, we did. We did. There were like caterers on the boat, and they were taking loads of pictures. Bless them. They were brilliant. But yeah, I know. A whole like, make sure someone films it. That would have probably been the only thing that could have ever topped it, is the filming of it. But apart from that, yeah, loved it. Best day.
Incredible. And then how soon after that proposal did you start planning your wedding? Did you have quite a clear idea of what you guys wanted? What was the vibe at the start?
He would have got married within the couple of months. I don't know if that's just a man thing, because they just think, oh, it's fine, we'll just book somewhere and go, and we're all ready. But we did. We took about a year and a half in the end, because we really wanted a September wedding. And the only thing he actually was allowed to have a major input in was the location. And because he's being half Italian, we did really want an Italian wedding. So we thought, right, September is a great time of year to do it. And that's why we kind of gave it that year and a half, because we thought, gosh, it would only be the 6 months or so if we waited for that September that year. So that was quite nice. That was a good balance. And I think for an abroad wedding, you do almost need that if you do want to go out and visit the locations as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk me through the decision to have your wedding in Italy and how you decided on the location within Italy.
So Italy was a given because he was half Italian. That was like the thing that we really wanted. And I just loved seeing so many beautiful photos in Italy at the time. And I actually myself had a lot of brides out there. And I just thought, oh, wow, like I'd love to bring my family out here. The location we wasn't quite set on. He's actually from Milan. We knew we weren't going to do it in Milan, but we were thinking maybe Lake Como. And then we went to go visit Tuscany, and that was it. I just fell in love. We actually stumbled on our venue completely by accident, which sounds crazy because so many people, when they see our venue, they're like, oh my gosh, like you must have been planning that for ages. And it's almost like a little hidden treasure. I'm not sure if many people like know about it as a tourist attraction, but we were looking in Tuscany and everyone's saying, oh, have you visited San Galgano yet? And we were like, no, what's that? And they were like, oh, it's this abbey, like it's a great tourist attraction. So we went there, and it's this beautiful abbey without a roof. And it just looks really like, gosh, like out of this world, like something you'd see in like, you know, one of them gorgeous films. And like, I was just like, oh, wow, I didn't even know this was a place. And then we asked at reception, it had like a little gift shop, a reception area. And we said at reception, I was like, do people get married here? And she was like, yeah, people do. She said, you have to request with the like town hall as such and request your date. They don't give every date. But if your date works in line with them, then yeah, they will allow you to get married there and you go from there. So we did, we went for it. And because of that, we were almost like, right, let's not even have a set date. Let's just see, throw out the first week of September and see what date we can have. And they came back with the 6th of September. We could have it. We were so excited. We were just like, but that works out brilliantly for us. And then that was it. We kind of planned around that venue. And after that, we were looking for almost like villas to do this like after party at. So we wanted the dinner and things like that to be like in a villa nearby. And we were looking at like really big, like they were like almost like stately homes, if you like, in Tuscany. And then we were looking at like gorgeous, like I was almost thinking in my head, I wanted Soho farmhouse, but in Italy. And sure enough, I found it online with like an online villa company. Now, this is one thing I would say and a top tip for anyone that's trying to plan a wedding abroad. Did you know that the villa that they put on their websites is actually a completely different name to the villa of what it's called in real life? Probably a sales tactic. I get it, because they obviously don't want you to book direct. But I was looking for this certain villa that I'd found online while we were out in Tuscany, kind of doing a bit of a recce. And I never found it. And I was really upset. And I kind of thought, oh, well, you know, we'll then just have to book online, see what it's like. We were actually in this small town. You would not believe this luck. We were in this small town. We were about 3 hours until our flight. So we were about half an hour before we were going to leave to the airport. We were both having a wine. And the waiter comes over. He said, oh, how are you doing? Are you enjoying it here? We said, we're just about to leave. He said, oh, what were you looking for? And we, you know, got into conversation. We were looking for wedding venues of a villa to stay at. And I showed him the picture. I said, I was actually looking for this villa, but I couldn't find it. And he said, that's not Villa Lecchione. That's Villa Podenovo. And that's around the corner there. And I was like, what? And little did I know, it was a completely different name. And he said, there's a woman called Diana that owns it. He said, just drive in. She'll like love to chat to you. She's really friendly and welcoming. Just drive in. And that was it. We could not believe our luck. He gave us the directions. We drove in. There was, funny enough, an already wedding going on. It was this French family. They didn't see us. We didn't like gay crush their wedding. It was fine. But she came out and she was like, oh, come and have a look. They're just over in the gardens now. And that was it. She showed us the part of the villa that we could look into without gate crashing. And that was it. Straight away, I said, do you have this date available? I want to book. I love it. It's exactly what I wanted and like expected in from the pictures. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. So I actually would say that's a top tip for anyone getting married abroad. Sometimes they are different names. So if you're trying to do a bit more research or looking for somewhere else, it can be quite hard. But yeah, often just going to the place, and if you can find the area and the venue, that it works out brilliantly.
And then ask a waiter.
Yes. And then the waiter, we were just like, how has this happened? But yeah, and then just the best bait.
Kismet, absolute kismet. That's an incredible story. What came first, the venue or the dress? Talk me through finding the dress. Did you get that moment?
I had that moment. Oh, Annie, I had that moment twice. It's slightly embarrassing, but I want to normalize. It's okay having lots of dresses. I just started wedding dress hunting in like the January, which I also know is quite late, to be fair. It was less than a year. And me and my maid of honor went into a shop. And at the time, I just wanted lace, quite tight fitting, really, really long train. And that's what I had in my head. But that was also in my head with the body that I also thought I had. And by that, I mean, this is pre-kids. I had super, super big boobs, right? And I just wanted to make sure everything was harnessed in and I felt really comfortable. So the dress that I absolutely loved, the shop, they were saying, oh, don't worry, we can, you know, we can corset this in and make it all be a lot more supportive for you. You'll be fine. So I was like, brilliant. Now, funny thing is, I went back, this is now in the July, and had one of my final fittings, and it still didn't, they don't get me wrong, they put in the most amazing support, but it still wasn't enough to, I think, what my expectation was. And luckily I work in the beauty industry and wedding industry a lot. I was actually on set with Jenny Packham the next day. Jenny herself was, and I was telling her about the dress, and I was showing her, and I was like, I'm just trying to see if I can get a bit more support in it. And she said, oh, Amy, you need a corset. She said, the boob size you are, and she said, you know, just looking at you, I know exactly what you mean, but you do need a corset to make you get the support that you're after. And she said, have you looked at Suzanne Neville, right? Because Jenny, as we know, beautiful, flowy, really relaxed, gorgeous beading, embroidery, but not so much corsetry. So she was like, you need to go to like Suzanne Neville, go in, like they're amazing, head down there. So I did. I went into Suzanne Neville and they were like, yeah, we can make your dress within 4 weeks. Like, but that's just standard. They can do that. Like it was just every single dress is made to measure anyway. You pick any skirt, you pick any top. Like it worked out brilliantly. And yeah, I loved it. I just, as soon as I tried it on, I was like, this is exactly what I was hoping for in the support that I was about. And that was it. I actually completely left the lace dress. I still had to buy it. That was the thing. I then went for the Suzanne Neville dress. I remember calling my husband being like, so I found a different dress. And I think deep down he knew like what my concerns were. And he was like, go for it. If it makes you feel that amazing, like go for it. And it did. I'm so glad I did as well.
It's so beautiful. When you guys see this dress, honestly, I say this word a lot, but incredible. It really was incredible. I've seen the pictures. Absolutely beautiful. And what happened to the first dress?
So the first dress, I actually, in the end, it was hanging up in my mum's house for a good year. And in the end, someone said to me, oh, you know, there's like a website, like I think it's called Still White. There was like, oh, there's a website you can put like dresses on, you know. And so I did. I literally just, I popped it on there. It brilliant. It literally went really quick, to be fair, because obviously there was nothing wrong. It was just slightly altered in the size, but that was it. And the woman who bought it, she was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting married in Brighton. It's like so much last minute. This is the dress I've been after. I'm so glad you have it. So it's a brilliant concept. But yeah, so it did actually work out really well in the end.
And you made somebody else's big day as well, which must feel so great.
Yes, yeah, because that's it. So dresses like that as well, sometimes they take absolutely months, don't they, to come in.
And then obviously next, the makeup. Now, as a makeup artist in the know, did you know exactly what you were going to do? And did you apply it yourself? I actually never asked you this. Did you apply your own wedding makeup? And did you know what you wanted? Talk me through the look, talk me through applying it.
So in my head straight away, I was kind of just, yeah, very classic. I think that's the other thing. It's what's quite nice about knowing makeup is you still, even on your wedding day, you still want to look and feel like yourself, right? You don't ever have to wear more. It's often just definition that gets lost in camera. So whenever I feel like, especially my brides, they're like, oh, I don't want to wear too much foundation. Gosh, never. You could be a bride and still wear tinted moisturizer and your photos will look incredible. That's all down to the kind of coverage you like. But it's more things like eyeliner, brows, lip liner, anything for definition that can sometimes get lost in camera. So I knew that I did just want the classic look of a smoky eyeliner. It had to be smoky still. That's me all over. It wouldn't have been me if it didn't have that smokiness at the lash line. And then just really neutral, soft pinky brown tones in the cheeks and lips. And then I did have, luckily, I had a whole team. I not only did I have a Bobbi Brown team, Annie, I had a Pat McGrath team as well there. And I had someone from MAC. So I basically, if you could create a pro team of all the brands, I essentially had it there. It was amazing. So yeah, I had some incredible makeup artists with me. And I mainly had a check over of like, okay, because I think even though I'm a makeup artist, there's still certain habits that I get into, you know, or certain ways that I particularly like my makeup. So I also had one of my friends, Emily, she literally stepped in and I said, please give me that check over, like make sure that I've not just gone OTT because I'm nervous this morning, you know, like, so that was always nice to have. And then in the evening, which was really fun, I literally just got grabbed by my friend Emily again. And she said, we're going upstairs and we're doing a smoky eye. She said, you're Amy Conway, you can't not have a smoky eye on your wedding day. And I was like, okay, let's do it. So we went upstairs and yeah, that was it. Quick smoky eye and back down to party. And that was really fun. I feel like that was a good way to play with makeup on my wedding day.
I think that's amazing and such a great top tip that if you are taking on, even if you know, like yourself are so on point with your makeup and you know how you like it and you're totally confident in doing it. Like you said, on the morning of your wedding, it's a whole different day and the pressure to get it right is on. And you know, there's this TikTok hashtag that's like birthday makeup, and it's the makeup that you just go all out on and can sometimes just go way off base. And so having that person there to check you and say, oh, you've caked it on under your eyes, let's pull that back a little bit, is so essential. I didn't even think about that. I mean, I was lucky enough obviously to have you doing my makeup, so I have to say, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, that because we did such an incredible makeup trial and you are who you are, I think a lot of brides will be kind of eyeballing themselves in the mirror while they're having their makeup done, like quite frantic, like, oh, are you sure you want to do that and things. And I didn't even look in the mirror until you handed me it. And I didn't even think to, because I knew exactly what I was getting. And I was so confident that it'd just be bang on anyway. I was so unconcerned.
It's so true. But so, I think the trial is so important, because the trial is, from a bride point of view, gosh, yeah, the trial is so important that you are so happy with the look and you're happy with your makeup artist and you're happy with that they know your style. But also from a makeup artist's point of view, it's so important that I know that bride's style and what they like and what's too much and what's too little. Because it's also things like, you've got enough to think about on the morning. You know, you want your makeup artist to be able to confidently, you know, do your face as you're having to deal with everything else. Like, where do you want the flowers to go? Oh, so-and-so's here, or so-and-so's asking this. You know, it's kind of like, I never want to be the person that's butting in to go, oh, sorry, can you quickly check this? Like, it's always quite nice to just let, you know, let your hair and makeup team just get on and do like the trial for you, because it makes you feel more relaxed, and it's always a nice way to feel in the morning. So yeah, I feel like, and plus we've all been there. Oh my gosh, if you're doing your makeup yourself, or if you're having someone else do it, like, I feel like whenever I've done my makeup and I've almost got too excited and done a liner and just overdone it, and the next day I'm looking going, oh no, maybe I went a little bit too much on that liner. Like, having someone there to go, no, trust me on this one. just keep it as it is. You don't need any more. It's a brilliant thing to have.
Exactly. And listeners, don't you worry. We're coming back to makeup questions in listeners' questions at the end of the episode. So this is not the last you'll hear from Amy on makeup. But now we're moving on to hair. So how did you hit on your hair look? Who did it? What were the prerequisites? Yeah, talk me through that.
So with hair, it was no question at all. I already knew from even before I met my husband who was doing my hair. It was Michael Van Clark, the team there. And I had worked with Michael Van Clark since, gosh, obviously this is back when Brides Magazine was a thing. So me and Michael Van Clark used to work on, oh my gosh, I can't even remember how many shoots now. And every single bridal shoot we did with Brides Magazine, I would say in the onset, just so you know, I'm booking you for my hair. Just so you know, you're all going to be there on my wedding day. And in my head, I think my wedding was a Brides Magazine shoot. I think that was basically it. But yeah, so as soon as it came along, straight away, I made the call to Louise at Michael Van Clark. And I said, can we start planning on you guys coming out for my wedding? And I wanted them to be guests there as well. I'd worked with them for so long. They're an incredible team. So it was Gustav who did my hair. And the team Summer also did my bridesmaids and maid of honor. Oh, she's just incredible. I had a trial with Gustav and I had no idea. I was kind of like free for all. I actually didn't have a plan. So I was thinking, let's just do like hair down, half up, half down. And this is probably everyone else's worst nightmare. And it was him as well. But in the morning when I woke up, the whole plan was we were going to have the whole hair down. Big waves, beautiful waves. And I woke up in the morning and I was just in the best mood. Obviously. And as he walked in, I was like, so Gustav, I was just thinking, should we do hair up for the ceremony? And his face just dropped. And me being in the industry should know how that feels. I was just horrendous. And I just thought, should we just like pin it up slightly and then like pull it down for the thing? And he looked at me and was like, Amy. And I was like, no, we don't have to. And he was like, no, we're doing it. Sit down. We're doing it. So, but I trusted him 1,000%. Like, I could have thrown anything at him and he would have been fine. But I just had this last minute morning of like, oh, do you know what? Let's just put it up for the ceremony. It was a slightly more windier day. So I think that was my thought process at the time. And I'm kind of glad I did. I ended up having like two styles that I look back on. So yeah, it was fun, but bless them. They probably hated me by the end of it.
Yeah, Gustav's just chugging beta blockers.
Yeah. He was like, Amy, why did you do this for me? I was like, you're amazing. I know you're amazing. Like, we don't need to do a trial on it.
Wow. And then wedding perfume. What did you spritz on?
Yes, the wedding perfume. It was actually one of my favorites. So my favorite perfume ever is Mira and Tonka by Jo Malone. And that is like my must have. But I did want it to feel slightly more special. So I had the spritz of the two and I loved it. It was a really good idea. So it was the Mimosa and Cardamom. And I spritz it with a Mira and Tonka, and it just gave that slightly different scent. So now whenever I just smell that mimosa, it just literally brings it back to me. So I'm kind of like, oh yeah, it's a nice memory, but then still the Mira and Tonka is like my everyday.
Beautiful. And then skincare, did you do anything different in the lead up? Did you book in for any treatments? What was your skincare strategy in the lead up to your wedding?
So treatments, yes, I did have. I had a lot of like the hydrafacials. I love those. I had, do you know what? I think I almost had like an all over body. I had like, this is really going off piece. I'm sorry, Annie. So I had laser tattoo removal because where my wedding was abroad and we were having this beach like pool party after, and that year was the year of all of the slightly more high-waisted bikinis. I had this really awful tattoo just on like my bikini line. It was a tiny star, horrendous, that I had when I was literally 17. And so I had tattoo removal on it, and the woman who was doing laser, she was amazing. She also did like laser like vein removal and things like that. So I almost felt like I ended up having a full body pamper, but it was good. I felt really bikini ready, you know, like it was a good one. And so I had my hydrafacials alongside one of those treatments. I also had composite bonding on the front four of my teeth. And just because I remember thinking someone recommended it to me, and I went and tried it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It felt like it completely changed my smile, and that it wasn't loads of work that was done. But that made me feel really like wedding ready as well.
Oh, amazing. That's a really great capsule your collection of treatments as well. And so specific to you. And hydrofacials seem to be very, very popular pre-wedding. And I guess that's because you get really good glow payoff. I like that phrase, glow payoff, without the scary sort of peels and things like that that could leave you looking a bit red, or they're fairly irritation free in my experience. So it's quite a safe choice, and they feel so good when you're getting them done. And then now talk me through your wedding, a day in the life of your wedding from the beginning to the end. And I know the one thing you did talk me through is actually one of your favorite moments on the day, right? That maybe wouldn't on paper have been one of your favorite moments.
So we were out there for the week before, and it was the most incredible weather, but on our wedding day it had forecasted rain, so I was panicking. We actually had to, in the end, 3 days before, book a last minute marquee just in case it rained. And I was just really panicking about it. I think if I could say to myself pre-wedding, Amy, don't stress, it's going to be amazing either way, which deep down I did know. But it just in my head, I was thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do if it rains? Where do the guests go? How are we going to get back? What if it's muddy? You know, all these things going on in my head. So when I woke up in the morning, it was slightly windy and it looked like it was going to rain. However, it was dry and everything was looking good. So what they started to do is they started to set up all the tables outside. So our setup was everything. The meal was outside completely. And I got so excited watching everyone set it out, because I knew the woman who was helping set it all up, for her to get it all out, I was like, great, it's going to be a dry day. She knows, you know. So that was all brilliant. Everything went ahead actually really well, timing-wise, I would say. One top tip I would say is leave enough time to get into your wedding dress if you do have a lot of buttons. I think that would be a top tip for brides, because I allowed kind of like 5 to 10 minutes, and I wish I allowed 20 minutes, because I remember my mum always getting like, oh gosh, am I doing it right? And in the end, luckily Louise from Michael Van Clark, she was like, oh, I've got it, I've done this before, I'll jump in and do it. So I feel like anyone that hasn't done it before, this would be slightly panicky if they had 5 minutes. But apart from that, all time it was great. Pulled up to the church and went in, everything was fine. It was so dry, it was the most beautiful sunshine coming through. Oh my gosh, for anyone that doesn't know, I think one of my favourite parts of the wedding day is, so my dad actually passed away the year before, and as we were taking our vows, a white feather flew, like literally landed in between me and my husband. You could not have written it. So I just looked up at the sky, and it was the most beautiful day. And then when the ceremony had finished, everyone was having a little drink, and they were getting back into their cars to go back to the after party and dinner. Me and my husband just started to look around our venue just to get a few photos, and it started to rain. And I just looked at him and I was like, oh my gosh, it's raining. The the dress, literally, we were all trying to protect the dress. We were like huddling up under little areas because, of course, we were in a church that didn't have a roof on. And then in the end, we thought, right, no, it is really starting to pour. Let's get back in the car and go. So me and my husband were in this really old Mercedes driving back up to where we were having the after party. And we got stuck in the mud. So the photographers already drove on. The videographer already drove on. They're in different cars. They were fine. And we're in this stuck together, just us two, in this two-seater old car that clearly just needed a push up the hill. But just stuck in the mud, and the wheels were turning, and we were like, no. And do you know what? We looked at each other and we just laughed, and I filmed it, and we were laughing. And I just remember that genuinely is the best part of the day, because it was my worst almost fear, but it ended up being the best thing. Everyone was, when we managed to get up there, so in fact, one of the groomsmen came down with lots of umbrellas, and we just walked up the rest of the hill because we weren't that far from it. And everyone was cheering, and it was brilliant. And I thought, you know what? Wet weddings make drunk weddings. And that's why I was like, come on, guys. And that was it. Everyone was just in the best mood, and everyone carried on. And then after about half an hour of that, that's when it all completely dried up. So what happened is then everything ended up coming back out. So they, bless them, they put everything in the marquee. And then because it was then sunny all afternoon and carrying on into the evening, they were like, no, we're going to set everything back up outside. This was all in a different area, so we actually didn't even know about it. And it was perfect. It ended up being fine. So, yeah, now that memory of us in the car is still my favourite to this day.
We're absolute legends. Beautiful day. And did you go on honeymoon straight after?
We had like a little like mini moon because we were so close to the Amalfi Coast. We thought it would be rude not to. So we did just take our car, not the old car. We took the car that we rented just down the Amalfi Coast and kind of worked our way down to Sorrento and then Rome and flew back from Rome. So that was quite nice to have a few days doing that. And then we did have our honeymoon at the end of the year because we wanted to take a good just over 2 weeks to do the Maldives and Dubai. I don't know if you get this a lot. I have heard loads, and I'd already heard it before I went on my honeymoon. But again, I would say another tip. We did 5 days in Dubai, and then we did 10 nights in the Maldives. And if I could have swapped it, I honestly would, because so many people tell me this anyway and was telling me before I went. The Maldives is the most beautiful place on earth. But after day three, you're sat there looking at each other like, what should we do now? So I honestly love Dubai. I think it's because I wasn't expecting it to love it as much as I did. But I think I would have, even if I could have ever gone back, I would have probably even done like 10 days in Dubai and 5 nights in the Maldives, because it's the most beautiful place, but you almost don't need a full 2 weeks there, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. We did a week in Mauritius. It was a place that I'd been before, so I knew, and Ollie hadn't. And I think we'd had both our jobs got very, very busy ahead of the wedding, and we'd had a couple of days before the wedding off, and then it was just high octane joy at the wedding for the weekend. We had a couple of nights in the Cotswolds to decompress, and then a week in Mauritius to decompress, and we actually sort of both really appreciated the kind of downtime, but it worked out quite well because then we went to Italy and we were really gagging for some kind of bit more of a city break and a bit more stimulation, that sort of thing. And so, yeah, I think bringing the two together, because I know people who've done 2 weeks in the Maldives for their honeymoon and they say it's too much. And apart from the fact that there's not loads to do, there's incredible things to do. And especially if you're into diving and kind of water sports and things like that. But also the timings with flights and things work out very similar. So you actually end up on honeymoon with kind of five other couples doing the same thing, and you see the same faces day in and day out, and it ends up being a bit repetitive. So yeah, max out at a week and then go somewhere different. I mean, first world problems, right? But
I completely agree though. I feel like it's just, yeah, it's one of those places, I think, that, you know, you see all of those places that you see them, and they just look so tranquil and so incredible. But yeah, you definitely don't need a lot of time there. You just need to do it, tick it.
And did you have to do a civil ceremony in the UK before your Italian wedding?
No. So we could actually legally get married in the San Galgano Abbey, which was incredible. However, yeah, you just do paperwork in the town hall. Like when you arrive, you just go to like register it in the town hall there. And then we just did the classic register the wedding here. Is that like 4 weeks before? I always forget. It's very old school, isn't it? The way we do it here, where you have to give notice. That whole thing actually shocked me when, you know, as you're coming closer to do that, I was like, oh, I didn't even know this was a thing. Because it's not a lot that people talk about it. But yeah, so we still did that as normal, and then we could legally get married out there, which worked out great.
Perfect. Locked it all in. And then how do you feel when you look back on your wedding now?
Oh, gosh, yeah, I loved it. I just feel like, you know, there was times when you're planning it. I think for me, it was the logistics of the planning. So we were, where we were getting people from their hotels, we were trying to work out like we had like coaches for them to pick them up for the day. That was probably the hardest part. It's, yeah, I wouldn't recommend other people to do that, to be honest. Now I look back, I'm like, why did we do that? At the seating plan, which I think everyone talks about is the seating plan. You never want to offend anyone. Like my nan, bless her, that we didn't actually have any, I mean, touch wood, I'm very lucky, we didn't have any family and situations going on. But my nan, bless her, because I was like, oh, I wanted like my mom and then my stepdad and then my nan and granddad on the top table, because it worked out really well. But from my nan's point of view, she was like, oh, but then what about your Uncle Ian? Like he's going to be on the other tables and he's my son. So I can't be up here with my daughter and not my son. So like, not that she was even, you know what I mean? Not that there was going to be any weirdness with it. But I think for her, she was like, no, it's fine. I'll sit with him and your mum sit with you. So it was very much like in your head, you're like, okay, yeah, we'll just do what everyone wants to do. So sometimes, even if you've got no problems at all with families and friends and situations like that, it can still be a nightmare trying to work out where to put them all.
Very true. And if you had a friend who is kind of diving into planning their own wedding right now, what top piece of advice would you give them?
Okay, so for plan, I would say just enjoy it. That would be my number one, because it's very hard to enjoy every part of it. But yeah, enjoy it and make the most of it. And I feel like just knowing that everything on the day is going to be okay, it always is, always, always is. And I think that's even just from knowing all the brides that I've worked with over the years, it's always amazing on the day. So just being able to almost look forward and know that that's going to happen,
so you're not getting too stressed earlier on.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And listeners' questions, obviously, they're all very makeup centric, as they should be. So first one, how should you prepare for your first wedding makeup trial?
Okay, so first wedding makeup trial, it's nice to bring a lot of photos of different looks that you like. It's also nice to wear the makeup you would normally wear, just so that the makeup artist can kind of see what is too much or too little for you. You know, I feel like I have a lot of brides that will say to me, oh, I love a smoky eye, but actually what's smoky to them? Because a smoky eye to one person is very light, soft hint of shadow across the lash line, but a smoky eye to someone else is four sets of lashes and full on ink liner, you know? So that's quite important, is just showing this is my everyday and this is what I feel comfortable in. Because essentially what we love for our wedding makeup is to just look you like every day, but just extra, extra special. So that's always quite a nice guide for the makeup artist. Yes, it does help to wear an off-white. I'd almost say bright white can sometimes be quite harsh, especially if you've got like a round neck or anything like that. But anything that's just like an off-white ivory or like a soft cotton is lovely to be able to wear, because yes, it does give a great guide. And then, of course, if you want something similar to how your hair is going to be, so if you know your hair is going to be down, then great. It will help to just bring, like, we can pull the hair down just at the end to see how it looks. Or if you definitely know it's going to be straight back, that's always nice to have a good guide of it. And then I always love to do a wedding trial more so in the morning. Like, it's not always possible. And especially with loads of us that have, like, busy schedules, of course, it's much easier later on. But if you can in the morning, because then you can see how makeup wears throughout the day, which is quite nice. So I always love to say to brides, like, take lots of pictures in the morning, take lots of pictures as it gets to like that golden hour later on today, take more pictures when it goes into candlelight, because the makeup will look different in all of those lights. So it's nice for them to be able to see how it's going to wear throughout the day.
That's such a good point. And another tip, so many makeup artists now have full Instagram accounts with kind of legions of pictures of looks they've done previously. And if there are any in that bank and in that grid that you particularly want to try yourself. I guess that's a really great point of reference. A, I guess, because if there aren't any, then maybe you should be looking for a different makeup artist. But B, then if you're showing that makeup artist a look they've already done, they immediately know what products they used and can kind of suit it to your look and what you're going for. Would you agree? Is that a good tip? I'm not a pro.
No, that's a great tip, because I think it just also shows that if you're looking at a makeup artist and you can easily pull out a good 3 or 4 photos that you love, that just shows that you really do love their style. You know, I feel like there's always a slight, I always love to see a glow on the cheek and a defined eye. Like, I feel like that just brings out gorgeous features in every bride. So it's so often you can see in some of my photos, and a lot of my brides will have that soft glow, not glitter. That's another thing. Some of us love a good old highlighter, and that's fine too, but I don't like that highlighter look. And I think we were even saying it at your trial, Annie. I was like, if I can get that glow in a moisturizer or a cream, I promise you it looks so much more flattering in photos than if I can get it with a glitter or highlighter. So I suppose that's a tip in itself. If you can get more of that hydrated, fresh, glowing look, it's more flattering on camera than a shimmer. And yeah, I think if you can pull out as many photos like that, it shows that you love that artist's style.
Mm. And another tip you gave me at the trial was, I thought, because my neckline was very Bardot-esque, so my shoulders were out, my décolletage was out, and I knew I wanted a bit of a sheen there. And I just assumed that that would mean kind of buffing in like a bronzed highlighter or something with pigment in. And you just washed the lightest dusting of powder highlighter, quite translucent powder highlighter across it, and that was all it needed. And I'm, you know, like, I'm a Vita Liberata body blur kind of girl, and I thought that was what it would need, and it didn't. It was just the tiniest amount, and it really paid off. And then there was no worry that it was going to transfer onto my dress or anything like that. That was one of the biggest takeouts I had from our trial.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing. Most makeup artists will be very wary of what will transfer, especially against a white or ivory dress, and we do not want to be held accountable for that on the day. So yeah, a lot of the products as well, they will tell you what works best, and you know, something that maybe you use on your every night out or special occasion just on a white dress won't be the one. But yeah, just a hint, what we're after is if you can get that glow without the color at that point, it's always really flattering, because even if that glow, and you know, even if you've got an auntie giving you a cuddle, it's not going to transfer, because it's essentially a clear glitter. So it's only going to show up when the camera light hits it, when the candlelight hits it, when the flash, everything like that. That's when that sheen will show up, versus it being, because it's bronzed and coloured, that's what was going to be more flattering, definitely.
Perfect. And then on the flip side, for somebody doing their own makeup, are there any products that you think are quite universal that it's well worth stocking up on ahead of your wedding, whether it's a primer or something like that?
Yeah, and I think it's really essential to almost have a good practice with products as well. So although, of course, we don't want to be wearing our wedding makeup a full month before the wedding, but just on special occasions, pull out certain products to have a play with them, because we don't want to just open up a fresh bottle of something because it's your wedding day and then be like, oh, actually it would work better if I applied with a sponge, not a brush, you know, some things like that. So I would really recommend getting a lesson, to be honest. I feel like even if you don't want to go out there and, you know, you feel really confident in doing your makeup, just go and sit down, whether it be at a counter, whether it be someone with freelance, and just go through product there, and you can have a play and then try everything on, and then know what you like, and then walk away with, say, so I would agree, primer, definitely. A good primer is always a great way to ensure that you've got your makeup that's going to stay put, and it's going to look really fresh and glowing on the skin. For anyone that doesn't know, I'm continuously using Prismarich Face Base. I know we used it on you, Annie. I love it.
Yeah.
It just makes every bride look really, really glowing without any shimmer needed. So I always put that under. Then a good foundation that's a good long wear for you. Whether you like to be full coverage or minimal coverage, you can still adapt foundations like that just by the type of brush that you're using. And then I would say powder. Powder is a must-have in your makeup bag, and give that to your bridesmaid on the day, along with a little concealer stick and a little lipstick, and you're pretty much good to go. You don't need anything else on for that. And then I would say practicing with eyes, really. Things like eyeliner, I don't think like
it's something that we would do always every single day, is your wedding look eyeliner. So it's just whether you're doing a slight wing, whether you're going to go more smoky, or just a classic line, just practicing every now and then the look that you're going to do with that. I always recommend gel just because they're the most waterproof. But, you know, I would just say have a practice, see how it wears, make sure that you're happy with it. And then finally, a good waterproof mascara, of course, top and bottom lashes. And then you're pretty much good to go.
And where do you stand on lash extensions before your wedding?
Yes, I have many brides that have the most incredible lash extensions. I do really rate them. I do think, gosh, most of them that I work with are beautiful. So they always look really full, really fresh. I've had like the odd bride that's tried it for the first time and is always like, oh, we love it right at the beginning. And then towards the end, they feel like really spidery. So I would say that's the tip in itself of almost like trial first. Know at what point you like those lashes. It could be 2 weeks in, it could be just the day after, but either way, like, know what point you love those lashes and then go from there at when to book them in before, but make sure you're used to wearing them. And yeah, whenever I have someone with that, we don't actually do anything on top. We'll sometimes do a waterproof top coat underneath, but with those lashes we actually don't touch. We'll just make sure there's no shadow on them, and we'll just clean them up and freshen them up, ready to go. All individual lashes that I will pop on the bride on the day, or strips, depending on what's more comfortable. That's normally something that's great to trial at the trial as well. So a lot of my brides will be like, oh yeah, I wear strip lashes, but I've never worn individuals. So that's a great time to try it. And often they're like, yeah, I didn't even feel them. And they stayed on all night. So that's when we're like, great, that's what we'll do for the wedding day. It's working very well. You know, your eyes will break with it. So we'll continue. So everything I would say is a must-have to try before, and then from there you'll make heart as well, either layer up more mascara or leave them.
And I guess maybe then, in an ideal world, ahead of your makeup trial, you'd also have tried out your, if you're getting a fake tan done, you'd be trying out your fake tan and your lashes. So then everything's coming together as it would on the day, and I guess your makeup artist can say, maybe do a shade lighter or a shade darker on your tan, or maybe ask for less of this on your lashes. Or I guess then you're working with everything and there's going to be no surprises on the day.
Yes, exactly. So I feel like if you know, and it's always quite nice to do, I think that's a really good point, Annie, because it's quite nice to do a trial when it's a similar kind of weather. And I say like similar kind of lighting that time of year. So if you're getting married in the October, for instance, it might be worth having a trial in the March. You know, it's almost that similar kind of time, because if you're having a trial mid-July, August, and it's super hot, it can be quite hard to try and think, right, how's it going to be in the October, or vice versa. In fact, I have a lot of brides that are always like, well, I'm going to have loads more tan on the day because I'm getting married in July. And yes, it's, I would say if you can have that tan at the time, because it helps the bride understand how they're going to feel. But from a makeup artist point of view, I would say, don't worry. The great thing about having a makeup artist is they have every single skin tone in their bag. So you could do a trial one day with them and you may be one skin tone. And on the wedding day, it could be that you've just come back from a gorgeous little holiday or hen do before, so you've got a bit more colour. The makeup artist will still have your shade. That won't be a problem.
Perfect. And then final question, which I think we have touched on, but just to solidify the answer, what makeup should you keep close to you on the day for touch-ups?
Yes, so definitely powder, concealer stick and lipstick or lip gloss, whichever you prefer to use. They would be the key ones. Your eyes, if you're using the right eye products, which I would always recommend long wear anyway, you would not need to touch up at all. They would not budge. The only thing I would say is obviously if you get a bit teary, concealer under the eye. And my top tip for tears under the eye would be just to pat, never wipe. I think it's all natural in us to quickly wipe away a tear. But if you do just press your ring finger into the skin underneath the eye, that will ensure that we're not going to ruin the makeup. And then I know this sounds really silly, but I always have to say, because I found it on my window too, of it's the area just along the jawline. And it's often because, you know, aunties, friends on your wedding day will be coming up to you, congratulating you and kissing you.
And if you maybe have someone that's got quite a strong lip colour on, I mean, yes, ideally we want to do slight air kisses, but in the moment, people will just come up to you and kiss you. Now, this was a pre-COVID wedding I'm talking about, so I'd love to know what Fry's thinking about after as well. But yes, you can often sometimes the bride can get like a little bit of like lipstick or anything along the jawline. So a bit of concealer there will just help take out any of that.
And again, powder for shine to the photos.
And then your lip colour after, I would say, to top your lip colour just after dinner. Just after the dinner. And then maybe you should go into the evening for dancing. But that would be it.
Such stellar tips. Love those. And I would never have thought about the jawline thing.
I know. I didn't think about it until I literally looked in the mirror and was like, well, who's kissed me with this lipstick? And at first I thought it was pink that I'd like scratched my jaw. But I realised it was someone that was just so excited and just ended up kissing me. I had like this pinkiness by my jawline. So yes, it sounds like a weird tip. But if you do have people like that and love to just come up and give you a kiss in general anyway, chances are on their wedding day they'll be wearing a nippy and get it all over you. So just a touch of concealer.
got you. Well, thank you so much for talking all things wedding, all things makeup with me. It's been an absolute joy, as I knew it would be. And yeah, thank you so much, Amy. I hope you've enjoyed it too.
Oh, I've loved it. Thank you for sending me down that memory lane there. That was lovely.
Guys, that was the last episode of season one. The time has flown. Words in a Wedding will be taking a little break, but rest assured we'll be back in no time with a whole host of amazing new guests. I cannot wait for you to see who we already have lined up. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. If you're loving the podcast, please let me know via a review on Apple or Spotify. Subscribe, share, and stay tuned to the @WordsOnAWedding Instagram and TikTok feeds, which over the coming weeks will be sharing more videos and pictures from season one's weddings, as well as advice, inspiration, tips, and tricks. A huge shout out to my first lot of incredible guests and to everyone that's let me know just how much you're enjoying Words on a Wedding, whether through DMs, reviews, or kind comments. I can't wait to get back in front of that mic. Lots of love, guys. I'll be back soon, I promise.